Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and I am so excited to continue this journey that is dedicated to you, the blue-collar warriors that are then we're putting them out there to elevate the trades, and super excited to have my buddy John back in here as I think we're in, the fifth or sixth one of these, and just getting this train going, huh?
Yeah, man, we're rolling right along.
And to do this, we wanted to have another fellow leader come in here who is a leader of the Warriors and has so many golden nuggets, Casey Gray and his platform. And I was just on his podcast, and we're going to go through and talk about how we're all coming together through the Art of Construction Tribe. And the main message that I want to convey to you guys and gals is that to add value, you need to find your passion and educate that platform. And what I mean by that is, Casey, when we put in the show notes where you go see all the cool stuff he's doing, is that his passion is about just building better buildings and doing it the right way. And so he's built this really cool platform, but also these golden nuggets how to run a better business along the way. And how is this going to benefit you is his platform of the Conscious Builder podcast. I was on his podcast. He's on ours. We're all coming together as one tribe. And so why are we all about this is that he's not just a crusty contractor, as we've talked about on many episodes. He is a quote-unquote conscious builder. And so we want to unwind that a little bit and say, what does he mean by being a conscious builder and his educational platform around that? And again, I was on his podcast, and we'll put links to the show notes where he asked a lot of great questions, and now we get to do it back. Why is this going to be great from your perspective, John?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that we want to do here is learn about the journey from swinging the hammer, being in there in the field, and then to running the podcast microphone. What steps did you take from that perspective? How did you get there? And what were the key lessons along the way? We're super excited to give you guys the Forge story this round, our golden nugget at the end where we learn those painful lessons.
Awesome. So we'll make sure we'll have a great conversation around his resource center and all the cool stuff he's got going. So let's stop talking and let's get Casey on the mic, have as much fun as possible, and bring you warriors. Let's all work together to build better buildings. Lock and load, tribe.
All right, Casey, here's our speed round. What is your favorite beverage, sir?
I will have to go with coffee, although it's not for the caffeine. I just like the taste of coffee. I drink decaf, but I avoid it during the week now.
There you go. There you go. Awesome. And what is the favorite place you've traveled?
My favorite place would have to be Rome. I'd like to go back there. I was, I guess, a young adult when I went there. So, and I still appreciate it just because of the architecture, but I definitely want to go back there eventually with my family.
Yeah, that's on the bucket list for sure. And when you're not so busy in the construction arena, what is your favorite hobby and interest outside of the AOC platform?
For myself, I like being outside. Obviously, sit in front of a computer a lot now. So in the summer, get out in the boat, paddleboarding, get out kayaking, camping. You have a 77 Westphalia, which is gutted right now, putting it back together, but we were camping in that before I ripped it apart. And winter, I'm into snowboarding. And one of my newfound interests, which is still in front of the computer, is cryptocurrency, actually, just really educating myself on the whole financial world and the crypto world.
Yeah, I'm on that same march as well, just trying to learn all I can about it.
There we go. Awesome. Well, we got to know Casey a little bit. What's your origin story that led you to founding the Conscious Builder platform?
Well, I'd have to go back a little ways now. I'm a carpenter by trade, and that's where it all started. I just didn't really like school all that much. I liked to be working with my hands, and shop was my best class in school. So they started pushing apprenticeships, and that's how the construction career started. I started working in construction when I was 17, never really looked back. Worked for one contractor for almost 7 years. He gave me some great opportunities, was running jobs for him. I think I was 20 when I started running jobs for him, doing additions and stuff. And eventually went out on my own. I was always doing side jobs. And from there, it started to grow. At first, when you're 24 and you go out on your own, You just want to make money and do a good job and build a name for yourself. But it wasn't until my wife and I found out that we were having our first child that my mindset started to change. And I started to ask myself questions and realize that this little person was going to be looking up to me. And I wanted to make sure that I was leading by example. And around then we started doing a lot of personal development as well, went to a Tony Robbins event. And after that, kind of everything just really started to click. And that's when the word conscious started to come into play. And eventually we didn't like close the construction company and open a new one or anything. We just changed the name of the construction company to the Conscious Builder. And we started to add all sorts of other things onto it, which is really about educating and realizing that we can't do this on our own and we don't need to do it on our own. There's a lot of fantastic people out there. We just want to be one of those areas where people come to in order to get that information. And we're just sharing everything that we're already doing anyways.
That's such a great perspective.
And that in lies why we were so excited to have you on the Blue Collar Warrior platform and talk through this to say how you went from the boots on the ground to having those life-changing moments to being more conscious. And that's what this whole thing is about to do as we unfold this to get into the Forge story. So you kind of alluded to it, but can you talk a little bit more about, you know, why conscious, the Conscious Builder?
So the word conscious is really about being aware. And I think a lot of people go through life unconscious. Let's say they're just making unconscious decisions, right?
Right.
And
right.
Not just in construction, but in a lot of aspects. And, you know, I'm guilty as well. We've all been there. I think the way our society is set up is that we're not supposed to think for ourselves, right? We just let the media right. do it for us. And I won't go down that rabbit hole necessarily right now, but there's a lot of things out there that, especially when it comes to products, right? So if we're talking about building products or how to build something, there's a lot of, as we know, greenwashing or false advertising out there. And that's what we're trying to get away. We want to become aware of the decisions that we're making and the implications that those decisions have. Because even if you don't make a decision, that's still a decision, right? You decided not to make the decision on whatever it may be. So conscious really connected with both my wife and I, and we actually started our first podcast was called the Conscious Living Podcast, which we no longer do. My wife ended up taking it over and she did about 70 some odd interviews on that. And that was the first step into the education world, into raising our awareness, right? It was really about helping ourselves as well, just become more aware of everything out there in the world. And to me, I think that that's a goal that we're all striving for, whether we're aware of it or not, is to become more conscious, right? Is to experience life to its fullest. And to be able to do that, you need to be aware, you need to be conscious. And so we're just bringing that into the construction world because there's so much out there that people aren't aware of that we want to make sure people are aware of. And to us, it's not our job to say, build it like this or build it like that. I see our job as saying, here's the options. Here's what happens, or here's where the product came from, or here's what this will give you if you build your wall this way or versus doing it this way. Like here, basically laying out everything for our clients so that they can then make a conscious decision on what's best for them. Because what's best for them isn't going to be best for me or for the next person, because we all have different factors that we need to consider when we're renovating or building our houses.
Yeah, there's so many golden nuggets there, right, to talk through as we unfold this. But you had mentioned, you know, having your first child. But I also, when I was doing research, and you talked about how you went to a Tony Robbins event and how powerful that was. And when you talk about how you need to be more aware because you have to be able to understand options and trade-offs, sometimes you have to go somewhere that just hits you sideways, right? And that's why I kind of wanted to bring this up to say, Blue Car Warriors, you got to find your why and realize that, but you got to go get the right amount of help. So can you tell us about why the Tony Robbins event was so powerful for you?
Yeah, and I'll tell you a little bit about how that came to be as well, because I did not know what I was walking into when I walked into that event. I actually had purchased a book called The Success Principles by Jack Canfield for my wife. And I don't even remember why I got her this book or if she talked about it. Anyways, within that book, he actually talks about Tony Robbins. And my wife happened to remember when she was a child seeing his infomercials on satellite TV and her at her grandparents' house. And so she decided to look him up and see what he's doing, and found that he was doing all sorts of events, and found this event called UPW, which stands for Unleash the Power Within. She said, "Hey, do you want to go to this personal development conference with me?" I said, "Sure." Right. A typical guy, I didn't ask any questions at the time. I just said, "Yeah, sure. I'll go with you." And so we end up going to this event. It's a 3.5-day event. No idea what I was walking into. You get there, everyone's cheering, everyone's pumping you up. You walk in, it's basically a rock concert for 3.5 days, but without all the drugs and alcohol. And it was eye-opening, not only because of the presentation, but because of the caliber of people that were there. The people who are there that were really committed to improving their life and to supporting others and doing the same. And that's not, it sounds like it makes sense, like that's what you want to do, but that's not something that's common, I find, in our society. You don't actively go, like, people aren't necessarily always lifting people up, right? They, and in some cases, the people who are closest to us are actually pulling us down, but not consciously. They're doing it because they're afraid, right? Something happened to them and they're looking it through their lens, and they're afraid for us because of something they had experienced in their past. See, this was all out the window there. This event was just everybody getting pumped up, getting clear on their vision and becoming aware of all aspects of life, right? It wasn't just business. They were touching on nutrition. They were touching on financials. They were touching on business. They were touching on relationships. They're like everything. And it was UPW is like the introductory course to everything that Tony Robbins done under his umbrella. So I would highly recommend, I think they're doing live events again. If you can ever make it to an event and you're committed to changing your life, improving your life, I guarantee you this will be a catalyst for that and will lead you to all sorts of other amazing things. And that's exactly what it did for us. It was a catalyst. From there, we signed up to all sorts of other events and met amazing people and continue to work on our personal development every single day.
That's awesome. I think, you know, for us warriors out there, we have a hard time doing that, stepping outside of our comfort zone. We're so confident in the trade that we're in or whatever we're doing that we're at the top of the tier. We're afraid to take that step out and find some other platform to take us to the next level. And warriors, I hope you're listening, because that was really awesome to hear, because I know for personal experience, stepping outside of that realm and listening and learning that there's so much more to it. That's what this is really all about. Appreciate that, Casey. So you have a pretty substantial team that surrounds you there. How did you figure out what positions you needed? And then how did you find the talent to fill those seats?
Well, at first it was kind of trial and error. So totally. When we first started the business, you know, things didn't go as planned because we really didn't have a plan. I have to give a lot of credit for building the team and building the systems to my partner, an actual brother, different last name, but Chad St. Louis. We have different fathers, hence a different last name. We'll get into to the family shrub that we have. It's not a family tree. We kind of grow sideways. That's great. But anyways, he joined the team, I think, about 4 or 5 years ago now. I had asked him, because his background is not in construction. It's in engineering, actually. But the way that he thinks is what I knew I needed at the time. I needed someone who is systems and processes oriented, because there's so many things going on in my mind. I'm kind of all over the place. I got a lot of things going on. I need somebody that's more grounded, that can be, that's more systematic and can help us create a strategy and then actually implement that strategy and then make it better, because inevitably it needs to be improved. And that was what Chad does. He loves doing that. And I don't love doing that. I like doing the more visionary type stuff, right? So he's been a huge benefit to the team and to myself and the business. And there was a couple people who were actually on before him. So I do have a couple main guys who've been with me quite some time now that are just fantastic. And they've grown into their position where they are now. But now what we do is we have a very strict hiring process, right? We're very much about hiring slow, firing fast. Nobody likes, you know, everyone's heard it, but it's easier said than done. We do now is kind of the rule of three, which is you interview at least whatever the position is, you know, get clear on the positions. And we laid out our roles and responsibilities across all the positions we could use within the business and then put people's names in. So that answers part of your question in terms of how we did that. Mm-hmm. But then we had to prioritize which ones were first, right? But when we go to interview somebody, We interview at least three people for any given position. We interview them by three different team members. So myself and Chad and usually Natasha or potentially Matt, who's our head of operations now. So it depends on the position that we're hiring for and who interviews them. And we check at least three references and we make sure that we interview them in three different locations as well, which isn't always possible these days with everything going on. But that was kind of our rule of three. And has it been perfect? No, there's been some people who we had to let go that came through, but it has been a lot better. And the people that we've brought on have typically worked out well, but usually where we realize they don't work out, it's because they can't actually do the work that they say they were going to do, or they weren't doing it to the level that we thought, which is hard to figure out in an interview, right? You kind of need to see them in action. Hence why we have the probational period of 3 months, right? And then you can do what you need to do within those 3 months.
That makes a lot of sense.
We've stuck to that ever since.
Yep. I like that rule of three process. That's a fascinating concept.
Yeah. And this is the leadership both ways, right? This whole podcast is to say, traditionally, blue collar warriors are just kind of bouncing around, taking the job, and they don't really know the other side of that process. And it's like, what's your talent? I need this done. And they just kind of do that, versus we're putting a lot of work into understanding how you can be a better leader to go lead yourself into the right position, right? So the next part I wanted to Casey to talk about with the Art of Construction tribe and all the warriors that we're all pulling together. I had the honor of being on his podcast, show number 169, and we'll put that in the show notes so where you can continue the conversation as we do the role reversals, and that's what this Art of Construction platform is all about, as we go all over the globe and have all these conversations, but then we pull them back of helping each other understand and find our why. But for you, is like, I really wanted you to talk about what you call your resource center, where you have so much great content, and then we want to get into a few of the specifics here down the road, but can you just talk through a few of your resource center options for the Art of Construction tribe if they're not aware?
Yeah, absolutely. The two that we put a lot of time into right now is YouTube and our podcast, right? So that's linked through our website, but you can obviously Google that and it'll come up. A lot of what we do on the YouTube channel is sharing things on our project. So it's going to be certain building products that we've used, or a certain project where we did something a little bit different. Most of our projects are different. Those are the types of projects that we like to do. Like most recently, one of the episodes that will be coming out is a renovation on a 160-year-old stone home and how we increase the comfort, energy, and efficiency of that home. So I think that's coming out next week, but
that's awesome.
Well, either way, it'll be out soon. But and we've done a lot of passive homes and we've done net zero homes, so we're doing updates on that. We also have a series that's on episode 7 of 10 right now called the 3-day cottage, where we worked with some homeowners to build their dream cottage, bring it up to, you know, the envelope there, taking care of the finishing, but we shared all the steps throughout that process. So we're just really sharing what we're learning along the way and the products that we're using and how to use them and so forth. And the podcast is more directed towards interviews with yourself, Devin, and other professionals in the industry. And I feel like I get a lot. I like having those conversations because you always learn something, or you're reminded of something that you forgot about, right? And I feel like it's such a great way for people to stay on top of their game, because you're forced to learn. You're forced to have these great conversations. And I feel like that's a great way to do personal development, is even if you don't want to do anything with the podcast, I feel like just having a podcast just so you have a reason to reach out to people and have great conversations is a world, can make a world of a difference.
For sure.
Your personal development. And then the last thing we're really working hard on in the background and we've started to release is the Conscious Builder Academy. There's also a blog there. We haven't done too much with the blog yet, but the Conscious Builder Academy is where we're starting to put some courses up, and we have a lot of great stuff coming out. Another one's being released this month, actually.
That's awesome. I look forward to learning more about that. So people talk about and they pursue the design build platform so frequently. It's like a buzzword in the industry now. What's your take on design build versus build only? Do you see pros and cons of both? What's your perspective?
Yeah, I see pros and cons of both for sure. We have mostly been a build only, and we work with other architects and designers. However, we've started to do design build and we've partnered with some of the designers and architects that we work with regularly anyways, just to keep it simple. So it's one contract. So I find that some people want that, some people don't. But I think what's most important is that is what's called an integrated design process, or IDP for short. And this is really important when it comes to high performance homes, like passive house, like net zero. You want to have everybody on the team involved right from the start. When it comes to custom, because what we do is custom, and every house is different. We've never built the same house twice. And there's also, you know, we've done different wall assemblies, even for passive homes, as an example. But why it's so important is that what happens a lot of time is somebody will go out, they'll hire an architect, they'll go get the plans, and then they'll go price shopping, and they'll go and try and get quotes for it. And I've actually told people, like, look, if you're just looking for the best price, we're not the contractor for you. That's not what we're interested in doing. If you're looking for the best value and you want to build a quality product, then I'm happy to have a conversation and work through this for you. But I guarantee you, we're not going to be the lowest price, at least on paper at first. Could we be be par by the end of the project? Yeah, for sure. But if you're looking for the lowest price right now in a contract, that's not going to be us. And I think that's where the first downfall is that a lot of times when you take those plans and you go price shop them, you don't actually compare apples to apples. One contractor is bidding could be very different what the other contractor bring, because those plans usually aren't complete. It's kind of like ready for pricing, but there's no structural details, might not even have a window schedule. We don't really know what any of the finishes are. We don't have the great, like there's a million and one things that we need to know in order to price a job accurately. And it's just not there. So somebody's either going to leave something out either on purpose or by accident. So their price might be lower than the next contractor, but maybe the next contractor included more than what was actually in the plans, because they're just assuming that things are going to happen, because that's actually usually what happens on a project, right?
Absolutely.
So that's where I think one of the downfalls are. In the design build, obviously you get everything up front. Now, the downside is that you're stuck with the designer and the contractor's one. And if you don't like them, then, or it doesn't start off well, then, you know, you're kind of stuck, or you need to maybe try and negotiate a way to take those plans and bring them somewhere else, right? So that could be a downside. But in either case, I think you in order for a project to be successful, especially nowadays with all the craziness that's happening in the industry, is you need to have your architect or designer, you need to have your contractor on board, you need to have your energy advisor on board, and everybody needs to be working with the homeowner together towards whatever their goals are for that particular project.
I totally agree. And you have to have a hub for that. When you talk about your IDP or integrated design process, that's the part I raise my hand and say it's hard as an influencer in the customer care wheel when the decision maker, typically the homeowner writing the checks on a custom project, they don't have the relationship of the people you're talking about. So you have to have somebody that is the trusted partner putting the partners together, of this hub of the different spokes, and that's where it becomes a real challenge, right, of what should or shouldn't be done. And one of our contractors, Timmy, a story once, he said, for me, it's real simple. He said, when someone says, I have Cousin Eddie, or I have this person, or these windows, and I took your window bid to Home Depot, or I did whatever they did, you just simply say, cool, if that's the route you want to go. But that now you've left our scope of work. And for any service, anything you're dealing with, I'm not involved in that. And you kind of have to be real about that. Just like Casey, you're saying on your upfront contract, it's always apples and oranges up front, right? And then who pays for that? It's the blue collar warriors. They're the ones out there in the field trying to execute the shit sandwich that whoever put this together. And then we end up building it twice. And when you build it twice, who pays for it? And then it all goes back to the crappy plans that we didn't know what to do. So let's go and talk about, you mentioned your resource center, and let's get into some clear objectives to say, how do you start this thing, right? You have to have some kind of template to begin with the end in mind. And more importantly, you have to have some kind of way to say, do I want to work for somebody or do I want to work for myself? And you better have some guidelines. What are some tools you've built around that, Casey?
Yeah. So one of the things that we built was the estimating spreadsheet. So we don't use that in-house anymore, but people can download that through our resource center as well. Part of the reason I made that is because I'd have people reaching out and basically looking for free prices, right? Just the tire kickers trying to figure out what it was. And I said, you know, I don't like just saying no and not helping them at all. I just have limited amount of time, right? I can't just go out and price all these jobs for free, obviously, right? So we created I created a template that was off of the estimating that software and spreadsheet that we were using at the time. And I created something that people could download so that they could put their own numbers in if they want. They can go out and do the work and find the quotes, and they have the template to just put in the numbers. So that's one thing that we did to kind of help those people who like to do it themselves. And I got nothing against that, right? But, and here's the tool to do it. And, you know, hopefully it all works out in the end for you. Another thing we've done is, I've made, you know, in business, as we all know, most businesses go out of business. I don't know what the exact stat is. I think it's something like 95% of businesses go out of business sort of thing. And I don't think that's any different in construction. So I did do a top five things I wish I knew before I started my business. And I did a free course, and people can get that at the Conscious Builder Academy as well. And these are things that I've paid a lot of money to learn.
That's brilliant. That's that tuition.
You get to learn them for free.
Totally. Well, so we're getting down to our golden nugget here, which is the biggest goal of this Warrior Series is to elevate our warriors and help folks that want to chase their dream of maybe owning their own business and help them learn some of the hard lessons that we're just here talking about. So now we're getting down to what we call our Forge story. And these are those lessons that are really learned hard, where we really paid some tuition on, and where it took a chunk out of us, something painful, where we've made mistakes, we knew it hurt, we learned a lot from it, and gosh, I know that I have. I think all of us listening have been in this situation before, and we've learned some great things from saying no to educating to communication, just so many different things, and can't wait to hear what your Forge story is all about.
Yeah, it was a painful one for sure, and it was long. The biggest lesson I learned, the most expensive, the longest lesson I learned was being in a lawsuit. And it was about a 4-year process. So to go back, this didn't put us out of business though, which does to a lot of people, it could have, right? Because it's a lot of time and energy. But how this all started, and I think at this point, it's probably 8 years ago at this point. Yeah, at least, no, it's been longer than that, much longer. Anyways, let's just say it was 8 years ago. And we were doing this major renovation, addition, renovation, and things were going pretty good throughout the project. There was some issues on site, as there always is with projects, little things here and there. But the biggest thing that happened is ultimately, I feel like the clients lost trust in the company and who I had leading the job. And then ultimately me being at the top of the food chain, right? Everything is my fault. And I'm not just saying that the clients thought that. I actually believe whoever's at the top, it is your responsibility to put the right person in the right positions and to manage those people and so forth. And by the end of the project, they were just not happy. There were certain things they weren't paying. We had meetings. I said, okay, if I get this done, will you release the payment then? Because we were at the end, and they said yes. And then they wouldn't release it. So we kept doing more and more. And then my guys would show up on site, and there was just more stuff that they had pointed out that they wanted fixed. And every single day they do something, there'd be more the next day. So it was obvious that we weren't going to ever resolve this. And the morale was down. Nobody wanted to work at this house because they couldn't make the clients happy. It was just all around not a good thing. So being, we weren't in business very long at that point, I'm like, all right, what's our option? It's obviously a big chunk of money that they owe us. What can we do? What we decided to do was put a lien on the property. But what that ended up doing is that it started the lawsuit. So by us putting a lien on, they decided to countersue us for like the entire cost of the project and then some, right? So it just kind of exploded. So now all of a sudden we're just trying to get paid what we thought was due to us. They're now suing us for all sorts, but they're throwing everything at the wall, which, you know, some of it was completely made up, and probably because their lawyer told them to do it. And some of it obviously made sense. And, you know, that's what the whole legal process was for. We started going through this whole lawsuit. So tons of money. I can't remember the exact, but it was in the tens of thousands, like, oh, well over $100,000 worth of legal fees in this 4 years of back and forth, going to court, but also preparing for everything. So I don't know how many hours. I never tracked any of it. And if I did, I probably burn the papers sort of thing. And what ended up happening in the end is that some of it went our way, because we ended up trying to sue for more as well once they started to countersue us for all sorts of stuff. Some of it went their way, but ultimately, and we ended up getting some insurance money back too, because some of the stuff was like our subcontractors who had done the work, right? So then our insurance company goes after their insurance company and so forth. But at the end of the day, the only people who won were the lawyers. We didn't win. The clients didn't win. You know, you could say that it went in their favor, right? That's what the papers say, and they got some money, but some of it went in our way as well, right? And we got some money, and then we got the insurance. So it's like, but nobody really won. The amount of time and energy and money that put into it, that could have been put towards serving other clients. That could have been put towards getting the next job. That could have been put towards building the Conscious Builder Academy. That could have been put towards working with my team. That's all lost, right? Time is lost. Money can be made. Time is, once you use it, it's gone. It's the one thing that is, we're all equal in. And that's what I learned, is that whatever you can do is keep the lawyers out of it. They're there. I think they're good for advice. They're there to do up contracts. Yes, you should have everything in paper. My opinion, hopefully you never have to go back and look at the contract ever again. You just deliver what you say you're going to deliver, and the client holds up their end of the bargain, and they pay the bills, and you continue to move on. And so ever since then, when things have gone south on projects, we've done everything we can to just keep lawyers out, because we're not perfect. We've done really well. We've gotten better and better, right? But there was a couple other difficult clients that came up after that, but we dealt with it completely differently, and we were able to resolve it, right? Because we had learned from the previous experience that going that route just didn't make sense for anybody. At the end of the day, we're all on the same team. We're all working towards the same goal at the end, right? We still want to finish the project, and we just...
That's so true. We end up in these situations where you come in with the best of intentions, and then they just kind of go sideways. And one of the things I wanted to kind of come back to is you had mentioned that the client had lost trust. Could you elaborate on that a little bit? So maybe our warriors can kind of see, if they have a project that's starting to go sideways on them, what is something that they could do to regain that trust? And maybe that's not something that you could have done, but it would be interesting to hear what that thing was, if you could put a finger on it.
I don't think it was just one thing. I think it was a combination of things. Once I realized, and we went through the whole lawsuit and they were bringing stuff up, I think there was stuff happening on site between my lead carpenter at the time and them that I wasn't aware of. Right. So that was my fault for not being aware of that, but things were kind of going south. He was saying things and then it wasn't being delivered, or it was being misinterpreted, whatever it would have been. Either way, in their mind, it wasn't correct, right? So they were losing trust in the ability of the company and the guy running the job at that time, right? So I think it was just a bunch of little things that were stacking up that ended up being the loss in trust.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like the newest course that we're making for the Conscious Builder Academy is on managing clients, right? And how to work with them. And I think the best thing to do is to stay ahead of the clients, right? Is to over-communicate. No one's ever... you're not going to find a bad review online where it says, "Hey, the company over-communicated with me. It was terrible."
That's so true. That's our constant battle. Yeah.
So when in doubt, over-communicate, right? Send more emails, make more phone calls, send more text messages, whatever it may be. But you're not going to... where you lose trust is when you're not either you're obviously being dishonest, or you're not communicating as much as you potentially should be, right? So you're leaving a lot up to the imagination. And if we leave it up to the imagination, our brains are there to protect us. So they're going to go to the worst, right? So if the client sees something and it's not done, and they're not aware why it's not done, they thought it was supposed to be done, for example, they're going to say, "Hey, this isn't done right. What are you going to do?" And you can say, "Oh no, I was going to finish that tomorrow. We're aware that it's not done." But now the client's going to think, are they only doing it because I asked them to,
right?
Or were they actually going to do it?
Yeah.
Right.
So that's now when the emotions start to go sideways. Yeah, totally. And you get those emotions in there and they all spin out of control and communication just goes down the tubes. Well, that's awesome, Casey. I really do appreciate your perspective on that. And hopefully the warriors out there, what you're hearing here is you're hearing real stories, painful stories, $100,000 in legal fees. And at the end of the day, nobody won except for the legal team.
Yeah, and it's painful, right? And so, Casey, thank you for sharing that. And we'll kind of recap a lot of gold that you dropped for us here for to say it all boils down to communication, but how, right? And the emotion can get really sticky, and it boils down to how important core values and these things are of doing the right thing, right? Because, Casey, you and I, as the leaders of the tribe, we cannot be at every job site. So communication breakdown is when you lose trust, right? And so that's all those things, and say we're all trying to figure this out, and sometimes you just have to stop. And this is, and it's probably not fun for you to share this story with us, but we graciously thank you for doing that. But it's kind of a gut check to remember, if your gut is not telling you of all these great tools you're putting out there, like, sometimes you have to be reminded of those things, right? So in closing, Casey, what is your crystal ball for the future? And we talk about communication and breakdowns when it comes to how do we use technology in construction?
So I've been thinking about this a lot. I'm not sure I have the answer yet, but I feel like smart contracts, so the whole blockchain world, could actually help a lot with the construction in terms of people getting paid. The residential world is a little bit different. I kind of have this vision for some sort of app that can help navigate all of that in terms of the people being paid and money being released when it's supposed to be released, and so forth. But I think the blockchain technology could help with that. And I'm sure there's people working on that sort of stuff already, but I don't know about in the construction world. You're starting to see it in the real estate world, and they're starting to see that. The other thing with technology and construction is there's a lot of 3D printing happening and prefabrication. So I think we're going to see a lot of things changing in how we build new homes. We've even done some research projects with NRCan where we did prefabricated exterior energy retrofits, where we build panels and we kind of cover over top of the exterior of a building. And, you know, so panelizing that. So trying to avoid as much work on site as possible. And I don't think that we're going to see a lot of that in renovations because there's so much custom work that needs to be done. But I feel like a lot of the work on the new construction side that can be done by a robot will start to be done by a robot, and the jobs will shift. You know, there'll be less skilled trades on site, but more guys working with the machines or building the machines or whatever it may be, you know, building the machines that build the machines, I guess.
Great perspectives as we, you know, we throw that wand out there, but also pull it back into reality, right? There's a lot more existing buildings than new ones to get built. And the dichotomy, all of that is interesting when you start looking at the dollars and cents and not just the actual frogs, but it's the sensibility to help the warriors execute this, because that's why we're putting so much effort into this. Because there's few and few people that see construction as sexy and want to get out there and swing the hammer, but maybe it's run the robot, right? So what is that one thing for contractors and affiliates that you want to leave the warriors to think about, to go out there and crush it, to either lead like you're doing or out there in the field, connecting the field back to the office, so we do not have these lawsuits and homeowners that get emotional and get us all out of whack?
Number one thing I'd say is work on yourself. The greatest investment you can ever make is in yourself, because you will never lose that investment. Everything that you put into yourself, you will always have, and you will be able to bring it with you no matter where you go, whether it's a lawsuit, whether you go bankrupt, whether you get divorced, whether you lose a loved one, whatever it may be. All of that investment that you put into yourself will pay dividends and will continue to serve you the further you go on in life. So I don't, you know, going back to the lawsuit, I wouldn't want to do it again. And I'm going to avoid everything I can to do that. But I'm happy that I went through it, because it made me better. It made my construction company better. It made me better personally. It allows me to manage so much more, because now I look back and I'd be like, hey, if I can deal with that, I can deal with anything.
Awesome.
So true. So
Casey, thank you so much for coming and sharing your story.
Thanks, Casey.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So, Tribe, how do we get more aware of false advertising in this new Amazon world? Because if you don't make a decision, that's probably the worst decision you could make. And so how do we become more conscious, right? And so that's why we worked so hard on, I love the name of his platform, of the Conscious Builder. And to be more conscious, you have to be more aware. Hence why John and I refuse to give up on you, the Blue Collar Warriors, and are dedicating to raise up and are be more aware to say, podcasts are cool, right? But hopefully Art of Construction is cool enough for you to listen, to work on yourself, and understanding options and trade-offs. And so he talked about Tony Robbins, right? And so I wrote down here saying, it was a rock concert without drugs, but had all the other supporting stuff. Like, that hit me. Like, why do we go to rock concerts?
To make us feel good.
To get away from everything. But what if you went to find your Tony Robbins to get away, to actually connect, to get away to find you, right? And so you can't be afraid of the past and your experiences and pushing on others. And I think that's what I see over and over of so many awesome Blue Collar Warriors I've had the pleasure to work with, whether it's 2 days and it went sour or 20 years, right? It's they can't get out of their own way. And then the leaders of the Blue Collar Warriors push them into false impressions of that's what the crusty contractor, as we talk about, right? And so, John, as we're going into budget and reflection season, we found ours in our Turkey Toe retreat, right?
Absolutely.
So we have our retreat center, and that is Casey and all his resource center. We can only have so many resources where you run out of resources and you run out of the most important thing Casey talked about, time. And that's what his Forge story was all about, is you better find the right partners who are the opposite of you. And he talked about his brother of his shrubs and bushes and all of us Blue Collar Warriors. It's my brother who this weekend at our annual planning session is we're talking about how he can take over, and he is 100% opposite of me. And then you have people like John in the middle of that, right? And that's where the Blue Collar Warriors have to understand the different moving parts. And that was a key thing for Casey when he said, as I found my brother to come in, who was the opposite of me, to break through that ceiling and actually put together our IDP, our integrated design process. And here's what we're all trying to figure out. Well, it'll never be done. It's getting the handoffs of the Blue Collar Warriors to connect the field to the office. And to do that, you better have the right upfront contract, because what the actual gets done is apples and oranges, and it's the Blue Collar Warriors to go out and figure it out. So I would start challenging that a little bit more on the front end, because when you lose trust, when issues arise, everybody loses. And that's what it all boils down to, is that they seem to never go away when you lose trust, because they're always going to have a reason why you got to come back and screw you. Mm-hmm. And then construction goes from being a really cool thing to you just want to run. I never want to talk. I never want to see this. I never want to do that again. And it all boils back to the time. So don't get to contract negotiation. Do what you say and make sure that everybody's on the same page. My best takeaway from Casey is, my favorite projects is when we never really even talk about the contract after we're all on the same page. We never look at the contract. Because our upfront contract, everybody was on the same page and we went out and executed. And you got to boil that down into you better find your core values to always do the right thing. So that's my in closing, and why I'm so passionate about this process is because you have to listen to it and you have to hear it many different ways. And you got to get hit up sideways to say, what's your drug, Blue Collar Warriors? Mine is educating you to go out together and have as much fun as possible. Maybe have a couple beers or the next bourbon, decaf coffee all day long, whatever it takes to make you tick. But don't go overboard, because that's what we have a tendency to do. When you get into a lawsuit, it just pummels. And you got to go find your why and work on you to bring you stronger. So what's your take on that, John?
Absolutely. I think you hit a lot of amazing points there. This was such a great platform. Really thank Casey for joining us, because it brought around a lot of things. One, you got to work on yourself. That's the best investment you're ever going to make. And like we talked about earlier, I think us blue collar warriors out there, we don't do a lot of that. We get in our own way so many times. So guys and gals, think about that. Think about, challenge yourself, ask yourself some of those questions. It's all about education, right? So we're out here learning these hard lessons. We're trying to give them out there to you so that you can educate yourself on it. You can educate your clients on it. I think that process, talking about through the contract and all that with the design build thing, if everybody's educated up front, the process goes so much easier, because that education can then build the communication all the way through. And then that reduces the emotion of how things go. If everybody's on the same page, everybody understands things as they are, the emotion just kind of stays out of it. And then at the end of the day, you know, there's some of those clients that you cannot please. And there will be something in that interaction that tells you. It could be your gut. It could be one of your people. It could be your teammate. It could be your partner. But there's something that's telling you that you probably shouldn't do that. And you know what, guys? It's okay to say no. Matter of fact, sometimes it's better to say no.
Heck yeah. Well, thank you so much, Casey, for coming in. It's awesome to have another trusted partner with the Conscious Builder platform on the Art of Construction. Make sure you check out the show notes and search Conscious Builder. We're honored to be guests on his platform and have him part of ours. Crush it out there, tribe.